It's the morning after the midwinter ball in Canberra, so there may be a few hangovers in the capital this morning. The highlight, as always, were the leaders' speeches. Anthony Albanese's used his to whip up interest in the ball's charity auction.
And donate like Gladys Liu is organising. Thanks very much. Have a great night.
Scott Morrison, meanwhile, got his biggest laugh with a cryptic reference to a tale from his distant past that's taken on legendary status on the internet.
What really happened at the Engadine McDonald's in 1997? It will remain the mystery of the ages.
Well, let's hope it does. Phil Currie was at the ball. Thank you for stumping up this morning, Phil.
No problem, Amy.
As these things go, how was last night?
Actually, my assessment was everyone's a little bit cranky with each other, and I think Christmas can't come soon enough. There was a lot of forced humour last night from everybody, politicians, journalists and so forth, but there was a lot of sharp edges in what was said last night, and my impression was, maybe I'm a bit old and jaded, but it was a lot of going through the motions. It's been a long year already.
I'm wondering if it's worth spending much time, you know, thinking about the leaders' speeches, but I suppose it's rare that we see our political leaders do this sort of thing, and they were actually on the record this year.
Yes, look, as Scott Morrison said at the start of his speech, as if they never have been. I mean, you don't talk to a room of 600-700 people of that calibre and expect it never to get out, and we've seen in the past it has. So I didn't think it was a huge problem going on the record. There was some trepidation. I think Albo was fairly, you know, wasn't that keen about it. But, you know, you should just embrace it and use it to your advantage. I've often said if Bill Shorten's speech from last year was on the record, he probably would have won the election because it was probably the best speech ever. It was very funny and significantly self-deprecating probably the best press gallery speech for a long time. So, you know, we see it in the US with the White House Correspondents' Dinner and so forth. You can do these things and, you know, show people you do have a sense of humour and you're not some sort of political robot. I think it'll get better over time.
You're preparing to head off with Scott Morrison to Washington. Obviously a fair amount of expectation about what this relationship might yield, given the status that Trump is bestowing on it. I mean, realistically, do you think the PM actually hopes to get anything substantial from it?
Look, Hamish, I'm with sort of Michael Fullilove you spoke to earlier. It is unusual. I mean, this is to get a state visit the first time you go when you've only been Prime Minister for 5 minutes is completely, unprecedented, I think. I've been sort of going to the White House for about 20 years with various prime ministers. So we're all a bit unsure of what to make of this one. But ultimately, if you get this sort of access, you use it. I mean, there will be people who criticise Morrison for going and, you know, cozying up to such an unpopular figure as Trump. But it's in our national interest that, you know, you go there when you can, and if they want to give you this sorts of access, you use it and you make your case, be it on trade, be it on regional security or so forth. It's not just Donald Trump, it's all the other officials he'll be talking to over there probably will have more impact. And, you know, we have a story today in our paper about aluminium tariffs again, how we've just dodged another bullet on that. Now, that was probably a consequence of Morrison getting a working dinner with Trump in Osaka in Japan back in June, where they managed to head that one off. So, you know, it's always a good thing leaders talk to each other. And, you know, the world is volatile. Trump is a volatile individual. And it's better we're in their ear than, you know, on the outer.
But there is a danger, isn't there, that comes with dancing this close to Trump? I mean, you know, it could go brilliantly, but it could also go terribly.
Sure, but I mean, look, if Morrison were to be sort of, you know, spurned or churned like other leaders have been, without rhyme or reason, I don't think it would reflect too poorly on Morrison because, you know, Trump's just Trump. But, you know, you just ask yourself the counterfactual. What if we were invited to the White House and we didn't go? I mean, it'd be completely absurd and silly. So you go and you represent your country, whatever your political stripes, or that of the president.
When you do one of these trips, there's always something you go looking to find or looking to understand. What are you going into this trip with an appetite for, Phil?
Good question. I guess my only curiosity is, do they want something from us that we're not already giving? I mean, we're not, you know, we're seen as a very good ally because we lift our weight militarily. We don't have a trade surplus with the US, so they don't see us as a threat. You know, Morrison's leader, Trump, is very comfortable with for a number of reasons. So whether it's just Trump looking for a distraction or he likes the ceremony, or are they going to put the weights on us to do something more? I guess that's my area of curiosity. There was, you know, quite some strong words by the US ambassador, Arthur Culverhouse, here in Canberra last week about having to show more backbone and stand up to China and so forth. So, but I suspect it will be sort of steady as she goes. But there'll be some important things, critical minerals, rare earths. That's a big area of cooperation between us and the US and the Canadians. They're minerals that are used in, you know, high-tech weapon systems and electronics. And China has 80% of the world's rare earth deposits. We have a significant, you know, sort of reserves here in the US, and others are keen for us to develop those. So there will be things like that spoken about and probably discussed and advanced. And, you know, it's regional security always.
And briefly, Phil, we've got 60 seconds to the news, budget news today. Mm. Is that going to reshape the debate over surplus versus stimulus, do you think?
Look, it'll just fuel it, Hamish. I suspect that we'll be in balance today, you know, plus or minus $1 billion either way. If it's plus, they'll probably call it a surplus. If it's minus, it'll be a balance. But either way, it's probably a balance from the $4.2 billion deficit forecast just a few months ago. So, yes, it will, and the government's been getting out in advance of that, saying we need a surplus because we need to pay down debt and we need money in the back pocket in case things go pear-shaped. So I think that interview just did with Jim Chalmers will sort of be the tone of things today.
Phil Khoury, have a safe trip. We'll talk to you while you're over there.
Terrific. Bye-bye.
Phil Khoury is the political editor of the Financial Review.